God, unless there are some people from the University of North Carolina who've done a lot of good research on the primitive Baptist churches down in Southern Virginia and that part of North Carolina. And taken from some of their notes, they were saying that careful listening, if you listen real carefully, shows that most congregations sing the ornaments in near unison most of the time. We were talking yesterday about how sometimes the women like to hit a high note and it feels so good, they stay up there, and then they'll fall down a little bit later, you know, but they do that a lot. And they do it consistently from one performance to another. Thus they are an integral part of the tune rather than just some optional extras. There are three things that you need to listen for. One is this falling down or going up on three notes, and you hold the first one that. You hear him do that? You hear Daddy do that? Three notes, you're holding the first one, okay. Another one is, I don't know what you want to call it, it's the flipping over of notes. They'll do a lot of that. And then they'll do the anticipation thing. Da, na, da. It's hard to tell you how to do it, and that you hear him when he does it. Getting ready for the next note or the next syllable or word or something. You go on up and then you hit it like that. Okay? Listen for those things when he's doing this singing. Another good quote that I use a lot whenever I'm doing any of the concerts around or anything is that that same minister said, there's good singing and there's pretty singing, and good singing's better any day. Uh-huh. So, you know, you don't have to. There's good singing and pretty singing, and good singing is better any day. Daddy does a lot of both. His voice is real pretty, and mine's not. So he's going to sing a whole lot today. So, but I'm going to teach you one in that same tradition. I'm not sure it comes from the hymnal, but it'll show you all of the turns that you'll be doing, and it'll also, you don't need, because I'm going to line it out, you don't need any words. I think I can remember the words anyway.
He said teach, I should have
to tell. No, you can put it on tape if you want. It's kind of a neat song. I learned it from Lois Short, who was on the way out there, didn't get there fast enough. She passed away last year. She was from Harlan County, Kentucky, and just absolutely fantastic person. Left a great body of music and dancing and a lot of good friends along the way. I pitch it right. Ice House has about ruined me. Yeah. It's the mountain air, it's not the singing. In the dear old village churchyard, I can see a mossy mound. Close down on those words. Okay, that's one of the techniques that they use a lot. I'll line it out, and when you sing your note, you come right on in, okay? And then I'm going to line the next line while you're still holding your last note. Hold on to your last note, okay? It sounds good then. Let me sing the first one first.
In the dear old village churchyard, mother's sleeping, there is where my mother's sleeping, in the cold and silent wide.
You know that John McCutcheon calls this, that kind of singing is the ultimate in folk singing. Doing that kind of thing. It really is an oral tradition thing. I don't know that that was ever written anywhere. Not even the words of that one, you know, other than in Lois's heart.
Yesterday I talked about my childhood, and mostly hard times that we had and the many times that we moved. And I neglected to tell you that eventually my father did buy a farm, a place that was his church, the old Pentecostal church, was right on the property. So he spent his last years, so since 1944, there. And what we now call the home place. So, and also I mentioned yesterday his book. And this is the book that he used. Himself. And you'll notice I got some of the numbers lined out here. That the song that they sang the most, and I spoke to you about, he had what we call tobacco gum on his fingers, and it stained the pages that they used the most. Then you would like to look at it. At 263.
Another neat thing we found, I don't even know, where was that letter found, Daddy? Where was that letter found that he wrote to Grandma?
I don't know who found it,
but
I have
that.
A copy of it.
Tell me about that. tell them about that letter.
I don't remember that.
Yeah. It was passed around at the reunion. There's a letter that they found that my grandfather had written to my grandmother. And they were, I think they were just dating then. I don't think they were married or anything. And it's a startling thing to to come upon something like that long after they both passed on, you know, just how real they were, you know, that he was writing to her, obviously, upstairs in his room and listening to the nighttime sounds and people downstairs and everything, and remembering the last time that he saw her and what she meant to him. And it was just sheer poetry the way he wrote it. It's beautiful. It really is. And that's the same kind of thing with seeing his thumbprint in that book. Teach him another song.
We have another song. You can continue to pass the book around if you like that.
Everybody got a little book?
Let's try. This is a very unusual song that they used to sing. Number 12. I have a hard time getting the right key. The women are supposed to lead all the songs and the men sing the bass. Or the tenor. And this is one that has it's a little unusual tune, if I can remember it. While sorrows encompass me around, and endless distresses I see, astonished I cry, can a mortal be found? Surrounded with trouble like me, few minutes in praise I enjoy, and they are succeeded by pain. If
notice that instead of again, they'll usually sing that again, and T-H-E is usually pronounced the, not the. Okay, that's generally speaking when they do it themselves in the churches, that's the way they did it.
Oh, when shall my sorrow subside?
Oh, when shall my sorrow of glory and peace. Oh, may I prepare for that day when Christ shall descend from above, be filled with His presence, go shall but all joy
choir, you were singing Evil.
I'll pitch it a little different. I'll do the line up to it.
He's gone from the evil to come.
Try that line again.
He's gone from the evil to come.
Do you all know what seraphs are on the end of the line?
No.
Break it up or break it?
Little angels.
No. Doing things with your, you know, instead of just come, do something on either take your voice up or down, you know. He's gone from the evil to come. Can you hear it? And like I say, you can use this type of singing in any kind of music you want to. You like to do Cajun singing? Use these same things with your voice, doing Cajun singing. Or if you want to do country music, oh heavens, Carol Elizabeth played some great country music today, and they were doing the same thing, Reba McEntire. Doing a lot of these things with her voice, you know. And so you can translate this stuff. That's why it's good throat exercise and vocal exercise to learn to do this. You can take it and put it in whatever kind of music.
The name of that tune, by the way, for any of you who have hymn books and want to find it, is Idumea. I-D-U-M-E-A.
Mm-hmm. Is the seraph like the closing in on the note you were talking about before?
This turn. That's exaggerated, but you can hear it. Yeah. And some they do close in on those on notes a lot, and just to give more impact to the words. And you know, the thing of it is, when the people in the churches are singing that, they're not doing it working on their style, you know. But there is a consistency to it. You know, you hear do it again next week, and it sounds like it's free form thing. You know, they're just flowing in there all over the place. You know, and this one's doing it like. But if you listen to it, you see that they're doing it the same way they've done it for years. You know, it's the same falling and turning and things. It's just the poetry. The words are formal, and it's the at first listen, it sounds like music isn't. You know, because it's not structured in four parts, it's not formal that way. Mm-hmm. Anyway, but the poetry is just outstanding. I've talked about with Hazel Dickens a lot about that, and it still knocks her out, even though she grew up in that church. You know.
But the thing that stuck by me most in my childhood memories is how they sang everything they sang real slow and with and never used any music and they put so much emphasis on the words and they had certain songs that they sang to open like the brethren we have met to worship and then songs that they used in the closing of the service. And everything seemed to be spontaneous, but not rigidly organized as we do today and have a certain time limit and so forth. So everything just rolled along easy and incidentally, while I'm on this subject, I'm just amazed at people. There are some people that are interested in this, and I'm just thankful to everybody that's here to let me share my experiences with them. Now, they have a song, that number 5 in the book, and it's not written just like that in that little book. They added this little chorus in there themselves. And this is what they would say most of the time when they were, as I described yesterday, when they were going milling around, shaking hands, and then at the breaking up. We refer to it as the breaking up of the meeting. And so when us children, we heard this song, we knew it was almost time to go home.
Favorites.
And this is what...
Your favorite songs. I don't know, I think with Daddy, it may not have been his favorite, some of the other kids in the family might...
Yeah.
Did you go to church with them a lot by yourself?
Yes, a lot. I used to ride in a buggy. And I referred to it yesterday. I don't know why I, out of all the 10 children, I was the only one that was interested in going with them to the church when I was real small. And I used to ride in the foot of the buggy. And I've seen a buggy since then and half. I got room enough to get in there with that feet. I don't know. And I would lean. I recall one incident where I was leaning out farther and farther, and my mother say, "Ben, get back in now, you're going to fall." And I kept leaning out farther, watching the wheels, till I eventually fell right out, and right between the wheels and the horse's feet. So, but there's nothing serious to come of it. So, we'll try this breaking up song.
Teach us the chorus first, so we can...
The chorus first.
Yeah, if you teach us that, so we'll know what we're singing.
Oh, my home, my long sought home, my home in heaven above.
Try that with him.
Shade faster. Jerusalem, my happy home, oh how I long for thee. When will my sorrows have an end?
Just that part, and then repeat it after him, just like he does it. Okay, we're going to break that down, because a lot of you are not getting it. I'm not hearing it. Okay, just break it down. Let us do it after you, each part.
Oh, my home.
Do that.
My long sought home.
That's right.
That's hard.
Do it again.
Oh, my home, my long-suffered home, my home in heaven.
Now, I noticed on that day, well, they put a lot of they put a lot of emphasis on this chorus for us. In heaven, able.
Oh, okay. He put in some more notes. Do it again, so we can hear it.
My home in heaven, able.
That's it. Do it again. Let's do it with it. Let's do it with it.
My home in heaven, able.
Are we getting it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
all right, there's some more verses.
I forgot what was her name.
Thy
garden land, thy pleasant greens, my study long have been. Such sparkly light by human sight hath never yet been.
If you like,
yeah.
Reach down, reach.